Hello everyone, welcome to the Football Fanatics podcast. Today we'll be talking about the clubs that failed to make the top 10 but survived relegation. They are Newcastle, Everton and Southampton. So first we'll be talking about Newcastle. We have Akshat Betala and Bala Subramanya.
Okay, hello. Hello Bala.
Yeah, hello Akshat. How are you doing? So
let's talk about Newcastle.
Yeah, let's talk Newcastle. So how would you summarize their season in a sentence or in a phrase, Akshat?
Okay, in a sentence, they have done fantastic work. They've overachieved because when Steve Bruce came, everyone thought, oh yes, they're in a relegation fight. But he's done really well to keep them out of relegation.
Yeah, that's really true. But then what do you want to say to the Geordies fans who are still complaining about, you know, having a bad season this time?
Look, Newcastle will have to have a lot of spending power if they want to become great again. And they were expecting it with the Saudi takeover, but that fell. So for the Geordies, yeah, it's going to be tough now.
Yes, we'll be talking about the Saudi takeovers later, but let's look at the season first. So this year, they have done well, but then the main man was not there. The one who they expected a lot from, Joe Linton.
He underperformed.
Yes, you could see he was good at the link-up play, but as a striker, you need to have the hunger to get the goals.
Yeah, you have to score also. You can't just, however good your linking up play is.
They had scored 38 goals this season, which is even lower than Bournemouth, who got relegated.
Yeah, it was a little bit evident. Like talking about Joel, he was signed from Hoffenheim. And if you look at his playing style at Hoffenheim, he needs the support striker for the link-up player. That was Andre Kramaric, an excellent shooter of the ball, an excellent player who can run alongside Joe Linton when he's carrying the ball in order to make the assist. But at Newcastle, they're expecting him to be another Solomon Rondon. But I think that is not the type of play Joe Linton is. I think their keeper was excellent this season, Martin Dubravka.
Yeah. A really good player. Let's look at his stats. 11 clean sheets, 140 saves. So that's around almost 4 saves a game. That's pretty good. And he's done well. He's kept 11 clean sheets. He's made a lot of recoveries. He's won quite a few duels. And his passing is also decent with 300 long balls, which were accurate. So overall, it's been a great season for him, but he's made few errors also, 5 errors, which lead to goals. So this should count against him.
Yeah, but looking at it right now, maybe if United lose Dean Henderson and United are looking for another keeper, they don't have to go for, obviously, Jano Block is going to be a costly option if they get United getting Sancho or someone like that, or Chelsea's getting Havertz. I think Dubravka would be easily a very good 20 million goalkeeper who will be starting each week at both Old Trafford and at Stamford Bridge.
He's been one of the best, but it's just that his errors which lead to goals take it away from him.
Yes.
So now let's look at the back four. Let's start with Paul Dummett. Well, Paul Dummett has been really decent. The Wales international has made 27 tackles, 23 interceptions, fought 54 recoveries despite playing only 16 games due to injury. And he's been solid throughout the whole season. He's done pretty decent with his passing also. He averages quite a lot passes per game, almost 40 passes a game, which is very good for someone in Newcastle. And he's given quite a few accurate passes. He's taken 2 shots, 2 on target. May not have the goals, but he's been a great defender.
Yeah, we can't expect a centre-back to exactly get a lot of goals unless you're Virgil van Dijk. Talking about the centre-back who did score goals for them, Federico Fernandez. I think he's one of the top players He's one of the top players in the Newcastle team currently, always putting up, performances, being solid at the back, not making too much of errors. I think he's been a great player and a great signing for Newcastle.
Yeah, he's been great. Like 2 goals, 2 assists, 2 big chances created. He averages 1.2 tackles a game, 0.4 interceptions a game, recoveries. He does quite a few recoveries, won a lot of duels. Aerial battles, he's winning very well. And 185 clearances. So, all in all, he's had a great season.
Yeah.
Let's go to Fabian Schär. He's underperformed from last season. You look at him last season, he was one of the best defenders in the Premier League. Only Laporte and Van Dijk were probably above him.
Yeah, true.
Okay,
yeah, so...
So Fabian Schär, what about him? He underperformed this season, didn't he?
Yeah, he did underperform. There's no doubt about that. I think also that last year he scored a lot of goals for Newcastle. That was not that this year.
Last year, he was overall better. Like, he made more tackles, more interceptions, more recoveries, more goals, more clean sheets were there. He was better last season.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you ask Newcastle fan last year that one player they don't want to lose will be Schär for sure. This year, you go and ask them.
Yeah.
This year, it will not be Schär, but it'll be a player who plays ahead of him, Alisson Maximin. I don't even know how he managed to accept Newcastle. At Nice, last year itself, he was a big talent. I mean, you can't call him a talent yet because he's 26. But at Nice, only like he had a lot of attraction. I think in the summer, bigger teams which had Champions League, such as Bayer Leverkusen, was linked with him. Why did he choose Newcastle over Leverkusen and Galatasaray?
I have no idea. He may have thought that he probably earn more money in Newcastle and probably get more game time, but we don't know.
He was still not the best and he was still disappointing. Like, there was no one player who really scored many goals.
You know, playing 5 in the back and playing a sole striker and 2 wingers. I think for that role, Maximin is more than what we can expect of him. So, had he not dribbled past some of the players and provided us, maybe they're going to be in the relegation zone. Who knows?
Yeah, he did well. 3 goals, 4 assists. He has created quite a few chances also. 8 big chances created. Then he has done very well.
45 crosses.
Yes.
What do you want to say about 45 crosses? It is a lot for Newcastle as a team, but as a Premier League, if you see, that is not a very impressive stat. But then he has only 26 appearances, so that's like around two crosses a game. That's not bad. That's like real good for a Newcastle team.
And for someone like
sits back in low block of Newcastle's defense, that's real, real good.
So yeah, let's go on to the midfield. You have the Longstaff brothers, Jonjo Shelvey, Hayden, Matt Ritchie. All of them are quality players.
Yes.
You also have Almiron.
Almiron, yeah, he's done well. Then let's just talk about Jonjo Shelvey.
He's been,
he's been amazing, hasn't he? Like 6 goals, 2 assists. And he's played 26 games and completed 1,044 passes.
He's been the best playing offensive in Newcastle, better than anyone else in the club.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But I think if you look at Shelvey as a career, it's been a very mixed one for him. He was supposed to be the Mo Salah of Liverpool, but coming off from that and going to such lows, injuries, then he bounced back this season. That's a really nice thing to see, isn't it, Akshat?
Yep, it's good because he's a great talent. And if he continues this, maybe he can go to a Europa League club like Sheffield if they want to keep the standards up. I think they'll need competition and that's exactly what Shelvey gives you. Let's talk about Matt Ritchie. Matt Ritchie has been great, hasn't he? The Scottish man has been decent playing on left wing back at the start of the season.
He's been in Newcastle for quite a while and he's been very helpful for them.
Yep. Well, he's made the left wing back his own position. He's created quite a few chances, scored goals. He has an assist, but it's in the defensive part. I remember him playing against Liverpool. Mo Salah was not as effective. He should have been in the home win when they lost 3-1. It was just because Firmino produced a magical performance. They won. What is your take on Matt Ritchie?
Ritchie was really good this season. I mean, like, especially you were asking a midfielder to play left wing back. That's not exactly a nice thing for him. But then he has lived up to the expectations of the Newcastle board and the manager, Steve Bruce, and putting up those beautiful runs in the flank. And that's really good from him. Although I think I did like him last season better than this one, because maybe Rondon was a strong guy who he could put the ball and could score. But I think Richie has also been a really good player this season. But talking about the number 24, Miguel Almirón, coming off from Atlanta United in MLS. So many MLS players have come here to destroy their careers, but he definitely looked like one at the beginning. As the season went by, he had a really good scoring form.
Steve Bruce believed in him, so he's shown.
I still believe he's somewhat underperformed, because he should have, like, according to the playtime he's been given, 35 appearances, he should have performed a little better. I mean, 4 assists is pretty good, but I think he should have done better.
I think 4 assists in 1.5 years is not good.
He's 2
assists, but 36 appearances. He has no doubt he has the talent.
But comparing it to Newcastle's offensive pressure, it has been pretty good, Bala.
Because Newcastle have only scored 38 goals and he's contributed to 6 of them. So that's around that's almost like 15% of the 17% of their goals.
Yeah, like, to be honest, Almirón wasn't good throughout the start of the season. He only started playing well at the end.
But it's fine that he'll make the number 10 his own and he will improve only. He can improve. 26 years, he'll be hitting his peak next year. And who knows what's
just saying, when Almirón joined Newcastle, there was a lot of hype around him. Almirón was expected to be by many fans of Newcastle and Atlanta United. But
yeah, now let's go over Isaac Hayden. Isaac Hayden's done decent, considering he's playing a more defensive role. He's done well. 29 games played, 1 goal, 2 assists, 5 big chances created, 800 passes, which is roughly 25-26 passes a game. Then he's done well. He's made 2 tackles in a game per game, around 1.5 interceptions a game, 4 recoveries per game, and he's won quite a few duels. Aerial battles also, clearances 33. So all in all, he's had a great season defensively and offensively. If he can get 1 or 2 more assists, I think 1 or 2 more goals, he can do very well. And in the start of the season, he's being compared to Scott McTominay, but I don't think that's true because he's more defensive to his game.
Yeah, but talking about someone who is good at attacks is Sean Longstaff. So, what about Longstaff?
Sean Longstaff, the older brother. Well, he's very good English talent. He plays in the midfield. Well, I don't know. He's not that great this season. 1 goal, 1 assist, 25 shots taken. So, it's not exactly really good.
I expected United to spend 60 million on him in the summer because last season was really good.
Yeah, he was really great last season. Just look at some of his stats from last season. Okay, 9 appearances, a goal. That's not bad. Big chances created, 3. Quite a few passes, crosses, long balls. But he has to be removed from the defensive side of the game. Then let's go on about his brother, Matthew Longstaff. He's certainly done decent. Scored more goals than his older brother.
The goal against United, that would have been the big moment for him. Such a crafty one, moving aside and taking that cut with his inner foot, going into the bottom corner. What a way to score your first professional goal.
Yeah, that was a great goal. The finish, everything was good. He took his chance when it was necessary. And after the United game, well, Newcastle were pretty decent. That was a catalyst for them. They won, they lost to Chelsea. They drew against Wolves. They beat West Ham, Bournemouth. They drew against Man City. They beat Sheffield. They beat Southampton. And they beat Crystal Palace. So
that was the moment of Steve Bruce, you know. At last, he beat United after so many years. So
I know.
Yeah,
Matty Longstaff totally won over Steve Bruce.
But he only played 9 games, so we'll see more of him next season.
Yeah, but he's out of contract. Do you know that, Akshat? So he might be moving.
Yeah, but I think Steve Bruce will get him to sign a new contract.
Yeah, that is debatable. But when we go to the forward, it's even more debatable. Trio. Let's start with the first one, Dwight Gayle. Towards the
Dwight
end of
Gayle,
this,
well.
He's clearly shown that he's only championship quality at
he's
the beginning of the
great.
Season. He's clearly shown that.
In 20 games, he has taken 10 shots on target. That is real. He takes a shot a game. That's decent. But 4 goals, 2 assists, that's also not really bad. He's contributed to around 17% of their goals. But he's not really the target man who you would play. And he certainly does not perform in the big matches when they come.
He is not the key player you would be going for a striker, but maybe a move to championship side like Birmingham. They don't have such a good striker. Birmingham,
or he can come to Leeds, Brantford, to give some competition for Brantford. That'd be
Brantford.
Interesting.
But for the amount of play time he's got, I think he has contributed, even though he hasn't been the best of the sorts. He has contributed to the team.
Yeah, 6 goal contributions in 20 games for someone who's fighting for a team which has scored so less goals. It's decent.
Yeah, but I still think it's bad. Because initially, if you're looking at the end of the season, the last 7 game weeks, 3 of his goals have come, if I'm not wrong. The last 7 goals.
Yeah, he scored quite a few goals. Like against Bournemouth, like when they won 4-1. He was the one who got a goal.
But if you're looking at the first 13 games, you would put him. Steve Bruce could have just terminated the contract.
Yeah, but he scored against Liverpool. And let's face let's just go on to Joe Linton.
Yeah, it's too debatable, Dwight Gayle.
He played every single game. Okay. He scored 2 goals.
Yeah. He's been disappointing, honestly.
He's been really disappointing.
Yeah.
2 goals and 2 assists for someone worth that much.
John Joe Shelvey has played like around 12 games lesser than him and he's contributed way more. And this guy is a forward. He's supposed to be scoring goals. He's gotten only 2 in the season. That is unacceptable.
Yeah. That's not a really good statistics from him, but maybe 40 million is not a price. He's not a 19-year-old or 18-year-old just learning stuff. You know, you should be brave in front of the goal. You should be willing to take shots. That's Premier League quality. No, not passing. I mean, like waiting for players and passing or just flopping in front of goal. No, that's not the.
I think he needs a quality play, like someone who'll probably be feeding him all the time, like someone who'll be passing it into his feet and he drops back, he plays the passes.
Akshat, I think are you talking about the opposite? Because you're saying like Joel Linton would be giving the passes to a stronger striker next to him or a second striker.
He can't do that. He's seen it at times.
We've seen at times his link up play is so good. But I don't know if you're claiming to be
he needs better service also, but he's been disappointing.
I think that, you know, he hasn't really played as a main team player. He spent his time at Hoffenheim, where he barely started. He was just a youth player that time. And he went on loan to Rapid Wien. Maybe there he would have gotten a lot of play time. But that is not a big club, to be honest.
Yeah, and but again,
Newcastle is playing in the Premier League. Newcastle is playing in the Premier League. And that's some tough competition.
Yeah, again, last year, if you see, he was a good Newcastle signed him for a reason. It's not like they just went and gave him 40 million. They signed him because his link up, I mean, his Kramaric and him did so much damage with Hoffenheim. They're challenging for top four until the 36th game week and playing against such teams like, you know, Leverkusen, such European competing teams, and that would have impressed the Newcastle staff, but then they went for the wrong striker of the two.
And they don't have a big squad. Like, the squad is so thin. It's like the options they have in attack is not that great.
Yeah. So moving on to the guy,
Alan Saint Maximin.
We have already done him. So
yeah, he was very crucial. Andy Carroll has done really well. He has scored a goal, but he won all the knockdowns, got 4 assists. He's been vital to the team. Bala, your thoughts on Andy Carroll?
Yeah, I think Andy Carroll has been a decent player, especially for the role he was signed in. He didn't come in as... He was not expected to be any main man or anything. Emotional return to Newcastle. He's not done a Mario Balotelli also. But he's just not Premier League quality anymore. He's not that player once he was.
Yeah, that's... but for Andy Carroll, you need to have a team built around him, like a team which will always dominate, a team which will always have the ball in the opponent half, so that if you put a cross in, he'll put the head and score a goal.
That brings the question, why was he not successful at Liverpool? Liverpool because exactly provided that.
No, Liverpool could not have, because Liverpool's team at that time was not that great. Steven Gerrard was injured during that time. And once you take off Steven Gerrard, Xabi Alonso, they couldn't control the tempo once Xabi Alonso left. So,
but they had like...
That's why
I'm
they
not...
lost.
Not pretty convinced. And Andy
Carroll also was signed, I think, right after Suarez was signed by Liverpool.
Yeah, and of course Suarez was the better player easily.
Suarez outclassed him in every way.
Yes. So now shall we go at the results? They started the league really, really bad. They lost their first three matches. Then they got knocked out in the EFL Cup. Then they drew against Watford, lost against Liverpool, drew against Brighton, lost 5-0 against Leicester. Then they beat Manchester United. Then again, they lost to Chelsea. But then from then, their form picked up really, really well. In the next 10 games, they lost only two times. And they drew twice. They won the other games. So they were really, really good in terms of that.
Yeah, since October, the October end, they started playing really
till box. Well. Yeah, from October till Boxing Day, they were really, really good.
But
and
then
that
they
was
had...
assured.
Yeah.
Then after the Wolves draw also, they went on a decent run. They beat Chelsea. They drew against Everton. They drew against Norwich.
Yeah.
They lost to Arsenal, but...
The important thing was to get points, either by draws or by wins.
Yeah, they were getting the points, yeah. They were not losing exactly.
That would easily keep them away from relegation.
Yeah, and post-lockdown also, they've not been horrible, horrible. Like,
yeah.
They beat Sheffield United. They drew against Villa. They beat Bournemouth. They drew against West Ham. and
they got
that
thrashed
was
by
and
Man
drew
City.
against ba- yeah but that was enough for confirming
yeah.
their
yeah.
place in the Premier League. Steve Bruce did well. Bala, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they did well, and although this was a good season, this is, it's going to be out, it's going to, like, for a long time it'll be outshadowed by the fact that they didn't get to be the best. I mean, they didn't get to be owned by the Saudi people.
Yeah, they would have got a lot of money, and they could have got quite a few good players, a good manager. Like, Steve Bruce is good, but he's not what you would call someone who will take you into the top four.
Yes. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more. Bye. I'm sorry, no man.